Break it down.
I was working late on my haftorah when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes. He said, "Tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. But tonight's the time to join the Wolfen Clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. But tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolf. Werewolf for mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolf."
All right, that was
welcome
that was
to
great,
Homers Ray. At the okay. Bat. Today's date is October 30th, 2015. It is the day before Halloween. This is our spooky NBA predictions podcast. This is Jeff Crisco here with Joe Gruen. Joe, how you doing today?
I'm scared. That opening was very frightening.
Yeah, I've practiced it all day trying to make it nice and frightening. So actually something I wanted to tell you, I keep forgetting to tell you every time. There's one person that I really want to invite onto this podcast. Apparently there's a guy named Joe Gruenis on Google Plus. And every time I type your name in to invite you, his name pops up, and I really want to just invite this guy and just be like, "Welcome to the Homers at the Bat podcast. How you doing today?"
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing. Do you think he's like a bizarro version of me?
Maybe.
Like he hates Chris Paul and...
Yeah, and he hates Chris Paul, and he like thinks Eric Snow is like the worst basketball player to ever play. And...
Right.
He's a huge
Dodger fan.
Yeah, Dodgers and Yankees. And...
Ugh.
Never mind. Joe Gruenis sounds like the worst.
Yeah, let's not invite him.
He sounds pretty bad. So we're getting started a little late on the predictions. We were going to do this yesterday, but I had the most nightmare disaster at the dentist yesterday.
Oh, no.
I sat there literally for over an hour. I was 20 minutes early to my appointment, and they got me in 57 minutes late. So wow. I watched almost the entirety of Happy Feet because that's what was on.
Now that's scary.
Yeah, that was scary. That was a disaster. It taught me that I need to take care of my teeth because penguins don't have teeth and they're frightening. So
right. Don't want to end up like a penguin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my dentist said. He's like, "You need to brush better, or else you're going to become a penguin." I was like, "Oh no."
Wow.
Yeah, my dentist, it may have been a sorcerer. I'm not sure. Not a dentist.
So, like, you think Danny DeVito's, like, the middle of, like, going full penguin? Like, Danny DeVito in Batman Returns?
Yeah, he's like a guy who, like, doesn't really take care. Like, he kind of takes care of his teeth, so he doesn't go full penguin, but not really.
Yeah, it's like the gingivitis before the rotting completely.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is, so.
That's scary. All right.
Yeah, that is scary.
I'm going to gargle mouthwash throughout the rest of the day. Come
on. So, all right. So the plan for today is we're going to get into our NBA predictions. We're going to take a look at who we think is going to win the division, who we think the playoff teams are, the conference finals, and the actual finals. And we're going to dole out some awards. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get into before we get started?
No, you know, I'm pretty much ready to go.
Ready to go. All right. So we're going to start with the division winners. And, the way we're going to do it is we'll go through the, Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. And then we'll get into our playoff teams, conference finals, and who we think are going to go to the finals. So, the Atlantic Division, Joe, I have, Toronto taking it down.
As do I. Good to know. We're 1-1 right now.
We're 1-1. The reason I see Toronto taking it down is the rest of that division is not really that great. I think Boston took advantage of a weakened Eastern Conference last year. I think they're going to drop down. I actually have them fourth in the division. I think the
I think
Philly takes a big step forward. I'm a big Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor truther. So I think that they're going to rack up enough wins against a really bad Eastern Conference to move up, because I have no faith in Brooklyn. I think Boston takes a step back. I actually have the Knicks in second because I think Aaron Aflalo, Carmelo Anthony, they made some – or Kristaps Porzingis. I think they made some moves to move forward. I don't have them making the playoffs, but – oh, wait a second. I did this wrong. I have the Knicks. I have the Knicks fourth. And
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Who are the other two teams that are going to go ahead of the Celtics?
I have New York on my list twice, and one's supposed to be Brooklyn.
So, are they sixth and seventh?
So they're Toronto. Let me try this again. East Atlantic Division, Toronto, Brooklyn. I still have Philly third, Knicks fourth, Boston fifth. I just don't have much faith in Boston. I don't have much faith in Boston, Joe.
So here's how I did my winners. I put the winners, and then I also put a dark horse to win the division.
Oh, nice.
And so I have, for the Atlantic, I obviously have the Raptors because I don't think there's much competition. But if I had to pick a dark horse from that that division, I'm 100% going with the Celtics. And I have – hold on. Let me pull these guys up. Hold on. Roster reference. Oh, roster resource. That's right.
This is thrilling podcast.
Yeah, I know. So sorry. I should have had this just ready to go. Okay, here it is. So I like the Celtics. They did beat up on a weak division last year. But I like their starting five and their bench, I like their bench maybe the best of any team in the division, because I think that Isaiah Thomas is going to win the sixth man award. I put that later in the podcast.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I like what Evan Turner did. He's not super efficient, but I like him coming off the bench and, you know, giving maybe, you know, 8 to 10 points a night, and some decent assist and defensive numbers. I like what Jared Sullinger did last year, and he's also coming off the bench now with David Lee moving into the starting rotation. And I like their starting five. I just think that, like, there's nothing thrilling there, but they all kind of look medium to pretty good. Like, I like Avery Bradley. I think he's super underrated. I think Jay Crowder's underrated. I think David Lee still has a little bit of the tank. Tyler Zeller put together a good year last year, and Marcus Smart, while not the most efficient player, looked like he was taking steps forward. So I don't know. I like Boston better than the other three teams in the division. I think Philadelphia, outside of Okafor and who's the other one? And Nerlens Noel, they don't have much. And I haven't seen a whole lot from Nerlens Noel, period. So I just think they're too weak. I would probably rank them like third or fourth.
Well, I mean, I have them third, so that's not a huge difference. I think our big difference in this division is how we feel about Boston. I don't know. I don't really see them going back to the playoffs is all that it is. And
right.
So, after Toronto, this division, there's not a whole lot going on for it. Personally, I don't think.
Yeah, I just think the Celtics have enough depth on their bench that, like, they're going to outscore every other bench they play, at least within this division. And I just see it adding up to, like, I think they're going to end up second, and I think that there's an outside chance they make, like, eighth in the East.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, that's definitely possible. They're not in my playoff picture, but I could definitely see it happening.
Right.
Central Division, we'll move on to that one. Who do you have winning this one, Joe?
The Central Division, I have the Cavs, of course. I think they have the best player in the league still. They have the guy who I think is going to be MVP, LeBron. And they added a few pieces. I just think they come into this year as solid as they were last year.
So I agree that they're the best team in the division, but I don't have them winning it.
Wow.
I have Chicago winning the division.
Because
Chicago, they're almost as good as Cleveland, I think, with a healthy Derrick Rose, which that's a big
if. Right. That's a huge game.
But, I mean, Cleveland is coming into the season with injuries already. We don't know when Kyrie's going to be back. LeBron's got to lay on the ground and get stretched out every time that he goes goes out of the game because his back's bothering him all the time. So what I think is going to happen is they're going to coast to like 55 wins, 54, 53, somewhere in there, because they have to rest LeBron. They don't know when they're going to get Kyrie back. And then that way they're sort of biding their time to be at full strength when the playoffs come. And Chicago has no such issues, and they'll win the division. But I ultimately think Cleveland is the better team.
So here's the thing. You mentioned Derrick Rose, and I think that's a huge deal. Like, with a healthy Derrick Rose playing like he used to 3 years ago, mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years ago, then he's obviously they're the best team in the division over Cleveland. But I think counting on Derrick Rose for the whole season is a huge what if. And I don't really like anyone else in the division to challenge Cleveland. So I have to go with Cleveland. I think the addition of Mo Williams was huge. Like, they haven't had a point guard in a long time. They had Kyrie.
Like a point guard though. Like a pass first. Cause Kyrie's just a small shooting guard type scorer.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes he kind of distracts from LeBron James and Kevin Love getting the ball. He kind of ends up taking too many shots. So I think that with Mo Williams in there as a pure passer, I mean, there was a string of games last year where he was averaging like 10 to 12 assists a game, and putting up decent scoring numbers too. So I think he's going to step in. He's going to do really well. He's going to play well with James and Love. He's going to get him the ball. He's going to get JR open threes. And then whenever Kyrie gets healthy again, he'll come back and step into that starting role. Mo Williams will come off the bench as a great, backup point guard option. So I don't know. I really like, I still like the way that the Cavs are set up, even with all the injuries.
No, I think they're a very good team. I just think that they're going to have to pace themselves a little bit better, because they're sort of like, think of how like the Spurs are in the West are, where mm-hmm. Pop will bench all the old guys for one night or two nights just to give them some rest in the middle of the season. I think that out of necessity, Chicago's going to have to do that with LeBron. When Kyrie comes back, they're going to have to ease him back into it. So I think we're on the same page. I think that I'm docking them a few games, whereas you're docking them maybe one or two, and I'm docking them three or four. And I think that's enough to flip-flop the division, because I really like Chicago this year.
Yeah, I just think a worst-case division or a worst-case situation for them is that this becomes a Kevin Love team. Like, they rest LeBron a lot, and then they kind of alternate LeBron on the floor and Kevin on the floor. And they're both superstars, so I just don't see any way that this is not going to be their division. As for the Bulls, I like them a lot, and I definitely have them probably fourth or fifth in the East. But again, if Derrick Rose goes out, that team falls apart.
Yeah, so, okay. I see where you're coming from. For the rest of the division, I have Milwaukee, Indiana, and then Detroit. Even though Detroit's making some hay early in the season, they're 2-0 in their first couple games, and they took down the Hawks at home on opening night. So they already have an impressive win under their belt, but I ultimately think they end up last in the division.
Yeah. You mentioned Milwaukee. I think that they are, I wrote them down as my dark horse team. They have a lot of really raw young talent, and adding Greg Monroe, who I think is one of the best big men in the league. And he was just stranded on a really bad Pistons team. Joining a team that made some noise last year, he's going to take them to that next level. And I have them making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I have them making the playoffs as well. I have them actually. So they got rid of the seeding where 1, 2, and 3 have to be division winners. So I actually have them fourth above Toronto. I think Toronto will have a worse record, but it'll win the East.
Wow.
So I actually have three of the top four teams being from the Central Division, which now that I play that out in my head, I don't think that's actually going to be possible.
I don't think so either.
But I really like him. I like Greg Monroe. I thought that was a huge addition for them with the Greek Freak, Michael Carter-Williams. I just think they have a lot of talent there to make some noise. What do you think about Indiana, Joe?
I don't like Indiana. and I haven't liked them for a while. I just don't like the way their team's set up. I think a lot of what they're trying to do is banking on Paul George being what he used to be, and he's not pre-injury. He's just not that player anymore. I kind of like George Hill. I always thought that was a good pickup, but I really see this team as just it's made up of all these little shooting guards, like shooting guard point guard hybrids, and guys that take too many shots. And I don't like it. I don't like anything about it.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
I actually like it, and I have them as the number 8 seed in the East, squeezing in there.
Oh, wow.
I just really like the Central Division this year, because half the playoff teams in the East I have coming from the Central. I actually like what they're – you make a good point. They are very small, especially considering that they switched Paul George over to power forward.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if he'll be able to guard the power forward, but I think he's I think they did it because – he's still fast enough to get past power forwards, but maybe not small forwards anymore. And so he'll be able to keep doing what he's doing on the offensive end and give him those points and that scoring. I don't know. That one was a gut feeling. That one wasn't any sort of real numbers or anything like that. I was just like, man, I could see Indiana making the playoffs.
Yeah. I think if Paul George had the athleticism that he had, a few years back, where he was looking like, you know, a LeBron James light, then maybe you can justify moving him to the power forward. But as a 6'8 power forward going up against guys who are 6'10, 6'11, sometimes nearing 7 foot, I just think he's going to get dominated on the defensive end. Like that, there's a huge hole in the middle there. And I think they're thinking, well, we'll plug in Ian Mahinmi and he'll be our defensive specialist, but he's barely a starter. So I really don't feel good about them in the paint.
That's fair. I see that. So Detroit, anything you want to say about them, or
they lost everybody.
Yeah. I was going to say, they seem like a team in transition, really.
Yeah. They're going to give a lot of shots to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and that guy cannot shoot. Like, he can shoot, but he cannot shoot well.
He can shoot. I mean, I can shoot, but right. If it goes in the basket or not. I think that, yeah, that's exactly that. They got rid of everybody that was anybody. Reggie Jackson and KCP are essentially the same player. So, you know, are you going to have enough balls to go around in that backcourt? And are they going to play any defense? That's the question, too, with them. So,
I mean, they've got a great piece in the middle with Andre Drummond, but yeah. Marcus Morris is a substandard defensive power forward. And so
he's the inferior Morris.
Exactly. So he's going to get scored on a lot. Ersan Ilyasova is not a defensive small forward. He's going to get scored on a lot. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is okay defensively. Reggie Jackson is obviously a small point guard, so he's going to get scored on a lot. It's just, I don't like a lot of them.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, is they're the type of team that's going to have some surprise wins. I think that's why they beat the Hawks. It's one of those things where if KCP and Reggie Jackson and then Reggie Bullock off the bench, if they get hot, I mean, those guys can score in bunches, but they don't play defense. So if they all get hot at once, you know, it's like all of a sudden they'll win a game or two here or there. They'll surprise the team, but that's not a recipe for sustained success.
Right, and they could bring in Stanley Johnson and give him more minutes. He's their first-round pick, replacing Ilyasova, and that might start to form something, but I still think it's going to fall short, and I have them pretty well-positioned at fifth, even though they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah, they're tied for first in the division, but, I mean, if that's why they play 82 games, not two, so.
Right.
Yeah. So moving on to the Western Conference. I'm sorry. I forgot about – I gave so much disrespect to the Southeast Conference – or Division. Southeast Division. Joe, who do you have winning that one?
This one I have the Wizards pretty well running away with it.
Yeah, me too. Pretty easily. I think that Atlanta takes a big step back. I think Washington takes a big step forward. And they're, like you said, running away with the division.
But I also have a dark horse team. And I think that's the team I'd rather delve into, and that's the Orlando Magic. And I pick them for the same reason I picked the Bucks in the Central Division, because they have a lot of young, talented guys, and they have a supremely underrated center in Nikola Vucevic, who's only 25, and it feels like he's been dominating for a few years now. And then Elfrid Payton and Victor Oladipo, they have really a strong young backcourt. And really all it's going to take is Tobias Harris stepping up and becoming what they drafted him to be in 2013. And if he can't do it, maybe, Shabazz Napier steps up, maybe Jason Smith fills a role, maybe Aaron Gordon steps up. I mean, they've got a lot of like guys that could be really good on that bench that could fill some holes that they might have right now.
Yeah, and actually, I actually have the Oklahoma City Orlando game on right now, and I watched some of their game yesterday, and who's really doing pretty well and sticking out to me is Hezonja, Mario Hezonja.
Hezonja.
Yeah, they're the rookie. I feel
Oh,
like,
that's right.
yeah, he's it's all circumstantial and anecdotal, but he's really Evan Fournier just hit a three-pointer. He's really jumping off the screen when I watch him play. He's got a lot of energy, and I think he could be a good contributor for them off the bench, backing up both Oladipo and Fournier.
Yeah, he's listed as shooting guard, and he is really tall.
Yeah,
Seems 6'7".
he's big. They have I've seen him in there, I believe, with Fournier, and then another plate with Oladipo. So they have him sort of that shooting guard, small forward, nebulous thing that a lot of teams like to do, just generic wing player. But I like Hezonja. I like this pick as a dark horse because if all these players hit their ceiling, they have a lot of talented players, and if they hit their ceiling, then they could definitely make a run at it. I have them. Let's see. I have them fourth in the division, though, so there is that. But I could see them if they all hit their upper 10% possibility, then yeah, I could see them winning the division. That's a good dark horse candidate because that's one that
That
it's a
people
pretty,
aren't thinking about.
yeah, it's a pretty dark horse, but I like it as a choice.
So how do you have that division shaping up? You said you have them fourth.
I have them fourth. I have Washington. I think Atlanta takes a step back, but I still think they're ahead of Miami, Orlando, and then Charlotte is the butt of the division.
Nice. Yeah, I think Miami is on the verge of being really bad.
I think next year they're going to be god awful, but I think they have enough guys on. Like this is their last hurrah.
I mean, they're a Dwayne Wade knee injury away from being really, just really bad.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of teams are one player injury away from being really bad. I mean, we talked earlier
Yeah,
about
but that
Derrick
one's a
Rose.
real possibility, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I just think, the Hassan Whiteside Mirage, if it keeps going, then sure, he'll be good for them. Bosch probably won't almost die from blood clots in his lungs again. White
Right.
stays. I don't have them making a whole lot of noise, but I have them in the playoffs, actually.
I don't. I think they're gonna be I think they're gonna have to rely too much on Wade Bosch and still Hassan Whiteside. And I'm not sure. I like Hassan Whiteside, but I'm not sure he's Dwight Howard, Like, I'm not sure he's
Well, I
what he
mean,
was last year.
you don't need to be Dwight Howard. You don't need to have a Dwight Howard to, get the seventh or eighth seed in the East. I mean, the East is really bad, Joe.
I
Like,
understand that. Yeah.
that's the thing. Three or four wins here or there is enough to move all, from like 10th place into seventh because they have so few wins over there. They just get destroyed by the Western Conference.
Right, but I think because I'm so high on some of these younger teams like the Celtics, the Magic, and the Bulls, I think all three of those teams are better than the Heat at the end of the day.
Yeah, they could be. I mean, they definitely could be. I wasn't exactly going crazy putting them, as the seventh seed. I have seventh them and eighth Indiana, and I don't feel too great about the seventh and eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Right, you were just kind of throwing a dart at a
Yeah,
dartboard.
you could tell me any two teams. I'd be like, okay, sure,
Yeah, I can
that's
make a case
good.
for that.
Yeah, that's fine. The you know, Charlotte and Brooklyn and Detroit. Sure, why not? I mean,
Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Bad long enough. Why not?
Yeah. So it's not something that's. It's not like the bottom of the Western Conference, which is a real dogfight to get into. I mean, there's going to be teams in the Western Conference that don't make the playoffs that are better than half the teams that do make the playoffs in the East. So
agreed. And hasn't it been that way for like over a decade or longer?
It's been that way for a while.
Like as long as I can remember being an NBA fan.
Yeah. I mean, there were some strong Eastern Conference teams sort of late 90s, early 2000s. And then they all went away. Yeah. They all basically when
Allen Iverson, you got traded to the Nuggets.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Jordan retired for the, like, sixth time, when the rise of Tim Duncan, a lot of the power shifted to the Western Conference.
Yeah, Kobe and the Lakers.
Yeah, Shaq moved to the West Coast, and you had the Jail Blazers were really good for a while.
Right.
You had the rise of the Spurs and all that, and it's just the Kings for a while, the balance of power really shifted to the West.
And then the Thunder after that. And then
it's pretty much
recently. Yeah.
So it's been like that for a long time. And it's kind of sad that it's staying that way. I mean, I like being able to watch all the good teams, you know, they're being on at 7 instead of 4, but it's been unbalanced for a long, long time.
Yeah. I think you can make a case that the top 4 or 5 teams come from the West.
Oh yeah, I'd say 4 of 5 teams come from the West. Yeah, I think that Cleveland's, Cleveland's a top 5 team, easily. So
yeah.
But all the rest would be the West. So, all right. Speaking of the Western Conference, first division we'll take a look at there is the Northwest Division. Joe, who do you have winning the Northwest? I think we're gonna have the same answer.
Yeah, I have the Thunder because I think like the Toronto Raptors for the East, they have like 2 of the top 3 players.
Yeah, I think they have like 2 of the top 5 players in the whole NBA. At worst, 2 of the top 10.
I would say 2 of the top 8.
Let's split the difference. I mean, that's not controversial to say that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Or are you talking about Deion Waiters and Serge Ibaka?
Yeah, I don't know. The great Deion Waiters season has to come eventually.
Yeah, no. Westbrook and Durant, if they're both right, if they're clicking, they can take anybody any night, especially I love Serge Ibaka. I think he's a great player. I think he's a top 30 player. So even there, you're looking at 3 of the top 30 players in the NBA.
Right.
So, I mean, they're an easy favorite to win the division, especially considering how poor the rest of that division is.
Yeah, that division is indeed poor, especially with Portland losing so much. I gotta backtrack. I don't think they're that poor because I have a dark horse team, and I was really kind of contemplating where I was gonna go between Minnesota and Utah, and I ultimately erred on the side of youth and went Minnesota. Let me pull up their roster because they you know, like some of those teams in the East, they just have a lot of great young talent. They have Karl Anthony Towns, who's the number one pick of this year's draft. They have Andrew Wiggins, who proved that he could be, you know, like at least a budding semi superstar last year. They have Ricky Rubio, who's playing as well as any point guard in the league right now, offensively at least. And I know they're starting Kevin Garnett. The reality is Gorgui Dieng is going to get a lot of those minutes playing with Karl Anthony Towns. And that's arguably the best defensive front court or one of the top 3 defensive front courts in the league. So I really like that. I like their depth. They have Zach LaVine, Shabazz Muhammad coming off the bench. They have Nikola Pekovic, who's a very good backup center coming off the bench. And they have Kevin Martin, who I kind of think could be a dark horse sixth man.
What? In like 2012 or 2011, maybe.
He averaged 20 points last year. He didn't play the whole season, but
That's what I'm saying. Good. That's what I'm saying. He can't stay healthy anymore.
Right. That's why he's a dark horse. But I'm saying if he does stay healthy, there are nary any teams that have a talent as good as Kevin Martin off the bench.
I can name one, but we'll get there.
Okay.
That's a teaser, everybody. That's a teaser. So I don't know the best way to put this. I don't believe in the Timberwolves.
I see.
I have them fourth in the division. I actually have, yeah, I have Oklahoma, Utah. I have Denver over them, Minnesota, and then Portland's in the dumpster. Although if Lillard and McCollum keep playing like they're playing, it's going to be hard to keep them out of the dumpster. Cause McCollum was pretty crazy in the first game. So we'll see how they do. I believe they play again tonight. I'm looking at the Trailblazers roster. Never mind. They're going to stay in the dumpster.
I just don't.
That roster is
so how are they going to replace Aldridge? They can take as many shots as they want from the outside. It's not going to matter. Like if they're starting Myers Leonard and Mason Plumlee and going, hey, go out and give us what Robin Lopez and LaMarcus Aldridge used to give us. That's insane. Like they're going to collapse.
Yeah. I'm looking at this. Yeah. They're going to be bad. You don't start Al-Farouq Aminu. Okay. Never mind. Forget I said anything because they are going to. But I like the Jazz. I think that they're pretty well put together. I don't know why they have Raul Neto starting over Alex Burks on roster resource, but that's neither here nor
there. Their backcourt's a little shady.
Yeah, but their frontcourt's so solid. I mean, Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward, especially. I love Rudy Gobert on defense. I think he's
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. And we'll get to him later. But I definitely – that's also a spoiler. I like Rudy Gobert and Favors. They're a solid front court. I think Gordon Hayward's a supremely underrated talent.
Oh, yeah.
Really one of the top small forwards in the league, if you just break down the numbers. And I like some guys on their bench. Like, I like Burke. I like Joe Ingles. He did some nice stuff last year. I like Elijah Millsap. So, again, like I said, I was between them and the Timberwolves, and ultimately I lean Timberwolves.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't believe in the Timberwolves. I don't know if Karl Anthony Towns and the remains of Kevin Garnett and Tayshaun Prince are enough to really do much for them.
I mean, I think Tayshaun Prince is going to be what he's always been, and those guys can play deep into their careers. Like, he's just going to be a defensive, you know, guy who's going to square up with guys. And if he gets beat consistently, then he's just going to go to the bench and they don't lose any offense. So I just don't see any problem in him. You know, he's an experiment player, and if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
But did you see Karl Anthony Towns, by the way, in his first game?
I did not see highlights of that Timberwolves game. No, I was watching the Kings game, which was going on at the same time. And then I was too depressed to watch the Lakers and T-Wolves highlights. So fill me in.
Okay. 6 for 10, which is 60%, obviously, from the floor. 2 for 2 for his free throws.
What's 2 for 2? Is that 100?
That's 100%. Yes. Okay. Or 1.000 as it's listed on his roster resource. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 3 turnovers, which isn't great, and 1 assist. But that's pretty good. And his preseason game, which he also played 31 minutes the night before against Milwaukee, 18 points and 12 rebounds, shooting 66%. So he's starting to look like he could be just a double-double machine for them.
Yeah, he could be, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't know how much of those rebounds were. I know that it was the Kobe Bryant show for a while, and the Kobe Bryant show doesn't include as many made baskets as it used to. So it could have been a lot of opportunity.
That's very true. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a reason he was number one in the draft, and so far he hasn't done anything to prove otherwise.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. The rebounds could come down because Kobe was taking and missing a lot of shots, but there's a reason he went first overall. So
yeah, and the Lakers are a dumpster fire, but absolutely. They're even worse than the Blazers. I think we'd both agree. As far as the Nuggets, you mentioned them. I don't like the Nuggets because there's too many question marks. Like, I don't know who Joffrey Laverne is. He's their starting center. I Gary Harris is their starting shooting guard. Like, the only guy I look at on their starting of their starting five, I know Gallinari and I know Fareed. And they're pretty complimentary players, but those are the two guys that stand out the most. They have Wilson Chandler coming off the bench. Nurkic is injured. But I don't know. They just look like the same old team minus Ty Lawson. I think that makes them worse.
Oh, I think you're vastly underestimating Mr. Emmanuel Mudiay, who I
I'm
think.
not. He's actually my dark horse for Rookie of the Year, but
Oh,
we'll
wow.
get to that later.
Because you didn't even mention Mudiay. I think Mudiay, I don't think he's the dark horse for the Rookie of the Year.
Oh
That's
my.
another teaser. So I think he'll have a lot to contribute because he went over to China. Sort of, he was essentially a child. Like, think about if we, when we lived together, went to go to play in China, and he was even younger than that. So
Wow.
he was essentially a child and went and lived in China for a year to play basketball. So I think he's got a lot of seasoning under his belt from that, and I think he's not your average rookie, I don't think.
Agreed. I mean, he's 6'5", which is huge for a point guard. 200 pounds, which is pretty big, and super young. So I just think it unless he's LeBron James, that's too young to be just this incredible impact player. He could be very good this year, but I don't think he's going to be like the guy that carries this team to the playoffs or even close.
Oh, well, I don't have them making the playoffs either. I think they have just enough spark in them so that they'll play well and they'll make games competitive and they'll steal some that they shouldn't win, but not enough spark to ignite a dumpster fire to knock them down to fourth or fifth. So that's why I think that they're third in the division. They're not making the playoffs, and it's a distant third. So I'm not saying I have faith in them. I'm just saying, they'll win some, they'll lose some, they'll win like 35 games maybe and never make any sort of run at the playoffs.
Emmanuel Mudiay had a really great first game. He went 6 of 13, 17 points, and 9 assists. But he also had 11 turnovers, which is
Oh,
crazy.
yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. He's on my fantasy team.
Holy cow,
I
that's
read his stat line,
insane.
and I was like, okay, good. All right, good. 11 turnovers.
I was like, he almost had a triple double. Oh, wait a minute. Like,
Yeah,
that's not good. Wow.
that's real bad.
So
So.
that's, I think, what I'm saying when when I'm talking about a guy who's 19 going on 20, is stepping into just a huge role on a team that needs him a lot. I just think that's scary. That 11 turnovers is really scary.
Yeah, it's not very good. So
And if he doesn't work out, they got to start Jameer Nelson.
Jameer
I'll just
Nelson,
leave you with that.
he's a professional basketball player.
He is.
He has been for a while, according to
Yes.
this, for several seasons, multiple seasons.
That is very true.
All right. Well, we gotta pick up the pace a little bit. So let's move on to the division near and dear to both of our hearts, the Pacific Division, the division that I was gonna say, we're great. We have the same winner, but I know you have this crazy idea, so I'm wondering if you acted on it. Joe, who wins the Pacific?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to pick anybody else but the Los Angeles Clippers of Los Angeles?
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
The
First of all,
second best team in California?
that's insane. So here's the thing. It's going to be the Clippers. They're 2-0. They've beaten two, in my opinion, solid teams in the Kings. And who's the other one they just beat? They beat Dallas, right?
I don't know. This is your crazy theory. You tell me.
Okay, they beat Dallas. Honestly, like I don't even think it's bias. I don't think it's me acting out of bias to say that it's going to be the Clippers. They've been one of the best teams over the course of the last, 4 to 5 seasons. Like they've been constantly getting better and better, and then they added three huge pieces this year. They added Lance Stephenson, they added Paul Pierce, and they added Josh Smith. and I listed those in that order. I have no idea why. It should be Josh Smith, Lance Stevenson, and Paul Pierce. I mean, all those guys can come in. They can shoot. Josh Smith put together a great season over the course of the last 2 years with Houston. He's going to step in and be a bench player who's going to give Blake and DeAndre Jordan tons of breathing room. So it's I don't know. I don't see any team that's better than these team than this team in the West, period.
The Golden State Warriors are better than the Clippers easily.
No. No way.
They're the reigning champs. You have to show your work how the Clippers are better.
I will break it down this way. Steph Curry is better than Chris Paul.
I'm gonna cut that and I'm just gonna play it. I'm gonna post it on Jeff Mercado's Facebook wall, just so you know, on a loop.
Okay, no, I'll say it. You know, Stephen Curry right now in his career is better than Chris Paul, which is tough to say, but he's also he's not as good a passer. Can we just put it that way? He's not as good a distributor. He's an offensive player.
I don't know if I've ever seen Steph Curry pass. He just gets the ball and launches it from like 35 feet.
Exactly. And he makes it, which is great, but he's just not he's not the same kind of point guard, and they're really not super far off from being they're just not far enough talent wise away from each other. So I don't know. I think that's a lot closer than people like to make it out to be. Like everybody says, oh, well, this is, you know, Steph Curry's taking over the reins and Chris Paul's a thing of the past. Chris Paul's been just eternally underrated over the course of his whole career. He's been criticized for you know, a few flubs in the playoffs, but nothing like horrible. And so I think that that's close. I think shooting guard wise, Klay Thompson, JJ Redick, Klay Thompson's better. JJ Redick is still pretty good, but he's not as good as Klay Thompson. Small forward. I don't even know. Wait, who's on the Clippers? They traded Barnes, right?
Their starting small forward is, I can't remember, even though I just watched them play.
Is it Pierce? Are they starting Pierce?
No, there's no way they're starting Pierce. I believe it's Jamal Crawford. No, he's
Crawford.
There. Yeah.
Weird. So anyway, let's skip small forward. Then we move on to where they're worse. I mean, Harrison Barnes playing power forward for them. That's already a mistake. He's small for a power forward. He's 6'8". He hasn't established himself even as a very good small forward. So I don't know what he's doing getting this challenge thrown at him. And I think Blake Griffin is infinitely better than Harrison Barnes. We can agree on that. And DeAndre Jordan is infinitely better than Andrew Bogut. And that's if Andrew Bogut stays healthy. So the way I see it, let's see. I know Golden State has Draymond Green. And the Clippers, I'm assuming since I don't know who it is, that Draymond Green is better than him. But
it's,
I think
according to Roster Resource, it's Stevenson. Even though I don't think he started against the Kings, but
okay. Well, I would take Draymond Green over him, even though I think Draymond Green's taking a step back. But then you move on to the bench, and their best player is off the bench is either Andre Iguodala or Mo Spates, and I don't think it's even close when you look at the Clippers and they have, you know, Pierce and Crawford and Josh Smith and Prigioni and Austin Rivers and Luke Richard and Mamute. They've just got tons of Cole Aldrich. They've got guys that can come in and play. All these guys can contribute. And some of these guys are arguably starters on other teams. So I think talent wise, the Clippers have the bench. They have the front court and the back court isn't as far away from the Warriors as people would make it out to be.
I mean, I guess it's just that what they have done to their team is exactly what people accuse the Kings of doing, which is filling the team with head cases who can't keep their heads on straight. And I think that it's going to be real tough for them if something goes sideways for them to not implode. And it's the NBA. It's a long season. It's 82 games. Something goes sideways. Lance Stephenson is a nutcase. Josh Smith is a nutcase. Austin Rivers is a nutcase. And he's bad. He's awful. He could barely find time to play on his dad's team. You know? So I just.
Yeah.
I think well, that.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it all rests on Steph Curry. I mean, Steph Curry is immensely talented and is enough to take the rest of that team with him. That's personally what I think. I think, you know, I'm of the mentality, you know, if you want to be the king, you got to beat the king. So, you know, as for me, I have them winning the Western, or sorry, not the Western, the Pacific Division. Clippers are very, 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 very close second. Don't get me wrong. If one key injury to the Warriors, and Andrew Bogut already is in the concussion protocol, so that one injury may have already come, but one injury to the Warriors, and it's the Clippers division to win. But I think that, you know, Steph Curry does enough to take this team far.
Look, it's all going to come down to Steph Curry, and the way that I see it, and Klay Thompson. I think you got to include him in that too. Because if they lose Klay Thompson, this is a team with a very good player and not much else. They're probably a 6-7 seed, maybe lower. So without Klay Thompson. So I think that because it rests so heavily on those two guys, and I don't see a third guy, you can make a case for Draymond Green. I think he's massively overhyped.
Yeah.
But I think because it rests too heavily on those two guys, one of those guys goes down, one of those guys takes a step back, one of those guys tries to play through an injury, and there's no question that it's the Clippers are the better team. And I think right now, even with everyone healthy, the Clippers are the better team. And we'll see that over the course of the division. I would love to make a water bet on that.
All right, Mr. FF Baller. A water bet. I'm not doing a water bet. I'll make
a board bet. What is it?
I'll make a bet with you. Yeah, that's fine. Division winner. I'm going to take the Warriors.
I'll take the Clips.
All right. Do you want to take a we'll each pick a dark horse. I think we'd both pick the same dark horse just out of dumb sentimentality.
We did.
All right. So,
are we moving on to them?
Yeah, let's move on to them. The Sacramento Basketball Kings of Sacramento, yes. Of Natomas for one last season. The Sacramento Basketball Kings of Natomas, playoffs.
I think so. I don't see anything holding them back outside of mismanagement, and I don't think that George Karl, being in the league as long as he's been, is going to mismanage this team. I think you could make a case he already is. But I think he's starting, you know, he's feeling things out. It's only been one game. You can't really say he's mismanaging it after one game. Mm-hmm. But I think there are things to love about this team. Like, you have to love what Kostakouvas did the first game, being our starting center. That looked crazy, but he gave, you know, 10 points, 7 rebounds, and played some solid defense. You have to love what DeMarcus Cousins did, obviously. What Rudy Gay did is what he always does. What Darren Collison did off the bench, what Willie Cauley-Stein did in limited minutes, and what Marco Bellinelli did in limited minutes. I mean, they just got and Omer Caspi. I mean, they got numbers from all around, and they almost beat what I think is the best team in the division in the Clippers, so.
Yeah, they actually they really impressed me last night. Or was it was last night, right?
Two nights ago.
Yeah, 2 nights ago when they did lose to the Clippers. They came storming back. They were down 15, and then they went on a 15-1 run to bring it down to 1 point. And they actually took the lead after being down 15. The Kings team of last year doesn't do that. They fold up. They go into their turtle shell because they're on their third coach of the season.
Right.
And they just give up. And I think a lot of that has to do with the short up bench. You mentioned a lot of it. I was actually surprised Caron Butler got minutes. I was surprised Caron Butler did things with those minutes. He was talking a little trash to his former team, which was kind of cool. But I think the big – there's two big questions with this team, and they're both in the backcourt, and they're the Rondo Collison question, which actually I think Rondo should be starting. I think Collison's a better player, but Rondo should be starting. And then when does Ben McLemore get benched? Because dude is there. There's offseason reports that he wasn't getting it. He clearly didn't get it in the first game of the season. He fouled a 3-point shooter just before the half for a four point play. And I think that Carl will put the players in the right positions to succeed. He's done that everywhere he's gone. They definitely have the talent. They had one of the best starting fives in the league last year. They shored up the bench without giving up any real talent. So, yeah, there's no reason why this team shouldn't make the playoffs this year. They're not as crazy as everybody thinks. That's the whole thing. Everybody thinks they're going to implode.
I think there are two things that could potentially stand. I'll say a tentative third thing too, but two major things that could stand in the way of the Kings making the playoffs. The first, I think, has to do with Rondo, because A, I think Collison is the better player. I don't think I'm jumping to any conclusions when I say that if the best thing that Rajon Rondo is doing for you is putting up really good rebounding numbers as a point guard, then you're not getting out of Rondo what you want, which is you want a defensive stopper. He looked slow. You want a guy who can distribute the ball. He only had 4 assists. The offense ran so much smoother with the second unit in than the first unit, and I think most of that falls on Rondo. I don't like what I saw from Rondo the first game, and I was tentative coming into the season about him. So I think it's only a matter of time before Darren Collison pushes him to be the starter. And I mean, he already had more minutes than him in the last game. So maybe that's how they're going to play it, where they just don't play Rondo that much. But if you're playing Rondo even 20 to 25 minutes against most of the starting point guards in the West, then you're going to lose a lot of games.
Well, the reason that I said that I think that he should be the starter, and I agree, Collison was definitely the better player in game one. I don't think you can find anybody who would say anything differently. I think it's because a lot of Collison's talent is his scoring. And if you're putting him out there with Gay and Cousins, you run into the same problem that the Kings did last year, where they have all their scoring in their starting unit, except for Marco Bellinelli. They have all their scoring in their starting unit, and then they go to the bench and who's going to score? I think at one point last night, on Wednesday, they had a lineup that was a mix of the bench and the starters, and it was like Rondo, McLemore, Caspi, Cauley-Stein, and Boogie. And I looked at it and I was like, outside of Boogie, who can put the ball in the basket out of these five players? And so I think it's almost out of necessity that Rondo's got to stay in the starting lineup, just to keep Collison as that Bobby Jackson. I mean, that's. He could conceivably be the Bobby Jackson of this team from the bench mob. He's definitely the better player. Now, don't get me wrong. He's definitely the better player than Rondo at this point in their career. But his talent is so far into scoring that it would lose some of its punch and some of its efficiency and ability to help the team if he's starting over Rondo. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, he went 2 for 8. And granted, he doesn't have to score that much, but still, when he scores, it should be efficient. He had 2 turnovers, which isn't terrible, but not great either, considering it doesn't seem like he was really distributing the ball that much. He only had 4 assists. He was getting beat defensively all night. Like, I think you got to get more from him if he's going to start than what they've been getting.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also, we also got to figure one game. He was going up against Cliff Paul's brother. So there is that to take into account. We'll see how he plays tonight. I mean, if he plays like he played against the Clippers, against the Lakers, then yeah, we got a problem, because there's a big step down from Chris Paul to D'Angelo Russell. So that's
right.
That's I think tonight will tell a lot about the true Rajon Rondo talent level.
Agreed. Yeah. And I'm willing to hold off until then too. And for the same reason, I'm willing to hold off on Ben McLemore. I think JJ Redick is an above average NBA shooting guard. And I think that that being said, he actually did a pretty good job on let me see if I can pull this up. He did a pretty decent job against JJ Redick in the first game. So I don't know. I like McLemore defensively. I think you have to keep him in there because there's so few defensive minded players, especially with how bad Rondo looked on defense. I think that you have to continue to develop McLemore as a defender and as a spot shooter and keep him in the starting lineup, even with what Marco Bellinelli did. And because keep in mind, Bellinelli's never been a starter. He's always been a bench player.
Yeah, that's something I noticed when I was looking into the Kings. He's always had really low career minutes per game. He's been a role guy, and you know, he played 32 minutes in the first game, so we'll see about that. And I think a lot of that had to do with how poorly McLemore did play. But yeah, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I think that they're going to steal a playoff spot, and they're going to get absolutely smashed by the OKC Thunder in the first round. But that's just what I think.
Can you imagine what Westbrook could do to this team? Even if Collison takes over, it's not like he's a defensive whiz. Like,
oh no, Westbrook will score like 65 points a game, and so will Kevin Durant, because nobody will be able to guard either of them. They'll probably actually put Cauley Stein on Durant, which would be really interesting to see.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, because he's got the length and the athleticism. All right, so Lakers-Phoenix not going anywhere, right?
No, they're terrible.
They're trash. Okay, Southwest. Who's winning the Southwest, Joe?
I think you and I have the same team, and it's the San Antonio Spurs. They're probably the best run organization of any sport. It's just they're always good. They always look like they should be bad. Tim Duncan's, you know, 85, and he's still playing like an all-star. You know, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard is one of the top small forwards, top players, period. He won the defensive player of the year last year. LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the top players in the league, supremely underrated. And just, I mean, they've got a good bench. They added David West. They added Ray McCollum, who I like a lot. And I think that, you know, watch out, because once Popovich gets in his ear, that kid has the makeup to be a really good backup point guard, if not a guy that develops into a starter.
Yeah, I was flip-flopping back and forth between Houston and San Antonio, and then what am I doing? It's San Antonio. It's the Spurs. It's the Spurs until Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich retire. It has been, it will be. It was one of the things where I thought, oh, you know, the Rockets could get frisky, you know, James Harden, Ty Lawson together, and no, it's the Spurs. Like, there's no way. It's not going to be the Spurs. But I do have Houston second, which Houston or Memphis, you could tell me either one, I would believe it. I'm leaning towards Houston, personally.
Me too.
Then New Orleans, Pelicans, and then Dallas. That's what I got in the Southwest.
Agreed. I think Dallas is firmly last. I think New Orleans avoids last because they have Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And I think that between Memphis and Houston, it's a toss-up. But if you just base it off of talent, I think you have to go with Houston, because Ty Lawson is still a great point guard. James Harden's arguably one of the best players in the league, one of the top 2-3. Dwight Howard is still very solid. Trevor Ariza is very solid. And they have an awesome bench despite losing Josh Smith. They still have Terrence Jones. They still have Corey Brewer. They still have Patrick Beverley. They picked up KJ McDaniels, who was good on Philly. I just think that they have a lot.
I agree. No, I agree. Like I said, I almost had them knocking off the Spurs, but came to my senses. So
and they have Valanciunas. I totally skipped over him, but he's great too.
He's pretty good. So all right. So do you want to run down the playoff teams that you have in the East and the West before we got to speed this up a little bit, get to the conference finals, and then the awards?
Okay, so I'll zip through mine real quick. Conference All right. finals, I have Spurs versus Clippers, and I have the winner being the Clippers. Cavs in the East, it's Cavs Raptors, and I have the winners, winner being the Raptors. Or no, I'm sorry, the Cavs.
I was gonna say.
Sorry about that. No, I have the winner being the Cavs. And then in the finals, it's obviously Cavs versus Clippers, and my bias took over, and I went with the Clippers.
The Clippers. So my Eastern Conference, I actually have the two Central teams duking it out, Chicago, Cleveland. I do think that they're the toast of the conference. I have Cleveland going on to the finals. I don't think there's much issue there. We both agree they have the best player on the planet in LeBron. And then in the West, I actually had the Warriors, who I had better than Clippers, and OKC. I didn't have the Clippers making the final. Sorry, Joe. But I actually had OKC over Golden State going into the finals. I think Russell Westbrook is so like angry. He's just such an angry little man that he'll propel them to the finals. But LeBron will take over, and I have the Cavs winning it all.
You know, here's the thing about Russell Westbrook. I think there are some guys where their anger takes over and they propel them to wins. And then there are some guys whose anger takes over and it propels that guy to stats. And I think I'm going to use Chris Paul as the guy who propels his team to wins with his anger. And I think I'm going to use Russell Westbrook as the opposite and the guy who propels himself to stats. Like when we look at Russell Westbrook's lines, we think, oh my God, this guy's like Oscar Robertson incarnate. But he never does it in a way that it seems like propels the Thunder to wins and propels the Thunder through the playoffs. Like it's always just for him. And when it comes to Paul, when he takes over a game, it just seems like it's makes the whole team better. Like the whole team becomes better. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say the Thunder are going to experience problems yet again with just guys who are stat hungry as opposed to team players.
All right, I hear you, but here's the difference, Joe. Chris Paul is the best player on his team. Russell Westbrook's the second best player on his team. I mean, there is that. So there is
yeah,
that.
But Blake Griffin is the second best player on his team. So
I know, but anyways, so the awards we both who did you have winning?
Yeah. Oh, I have the Clippers, obviously.
Oh, the Clippers.
And I'm assuming you have the Cavs.
I have the Cavs. So a little bit of difference there. Who's your MVP? Who do you have winning the MVP this year, Joe?
I have LeBron James winning the MVP, and I have a dark horse candidate in CP3.
Of course. I wouldn't expect anything different from you, Joe. I have Steph Curry, just because, I mean, we talked about it. They get rid of Steph Curry. They're 6th, 7th seed? I mean,
yeah.
He could take over the game from an offensive standpoint more than any player that I've seen since, I don't know. LeBron could take the game over, but he's more of a passing. Steph Curry, he's a danger to shoot it from everywhere, and he makes it from everywhere. So I think he is the most valuable player to the Warriors. I think that he's going to carry them again. Maybe it's because I live in the Bay Area and all I hear about is Steph Curry, but there is
– I think that's part of it, yeah. He gets talked about a lot out here too.
Yeah. So Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, I have Doc Rivers. Again, Clipper bias. And my dark horse is Sam Mitchell of the Minnesota Timberwolves because I really like them.
See, I have – because I think that the narrative has gone so far in the wrong direction that the team's a bunch of head cases and it's going to implode. There's no way they can be successful. I think if they make the playoffs, George Karl wins Coach of the Year because of all the narratives against the Kings. It's not that he's going to be the better coach, but if we think they make the playoffs, that means they're vastly outperforming expectations, and there's almost no point or no – way to give it to anybody but George Karl, because the narrative goes from, oh, it's this powder keg team that's, you know, a group of misfits. There's no way they could possibly succeed to, oh my God, look, George Karl got this powder keg group of misfits to succeed. So if I truly think that the Kings make the playoffs, then George Karl has to be at least top three, top two, maybe even wins Coach of the Year.
Agreed. And it was real close between, I'd considered Karl. And the reason I went with Sam Mitchell as my dark horse was because I thought they were going to have a slightly better team and win-loss record. And also, Sam Mitchell's more of an unknown. Like, the whole team, like, no one expects them to be good. So I just think it's going to be close between those two in at least that dark horse category.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think that because of the talent on the roster, I think that Doc Rivers won't get the votes needed to get that victory. You know, a lot of people will siphon off to other coaches, say, well, Chris Paul is essentially coach on the court. You know, how much is Doc Rivers really doing? You know, or they'll say, oh yeah, it's pretty easy to go tell Blake Griffin to dunk the basketball. You know, so there's a lot of ways to detract from Doc Rivers that I think it'll siphon off votes to other coaches.
Right. I think that Doc Rivers guess has a lot to do. It's basically based in the Clippers having like the number one record and having this like all time season.
Yeah. So there's a lot baked into the Clippers being incredible there. I can tell with your Dark Horse CP3 with Doc Rivers winning the Coach of the Year award. And then who's your sixth man, Joe?
My sixth man is Isaiah Thomas. I just think that he is far and away the most talented. I mean, sixth man is really interesting. There were a lot of guys I went through, like I thought about like Lou Williams and just a ton of other guys. And I eventually settled on Isaiah Thomas because I just think he has the talent to be a starting point guard. He just doesn't have the size. But when you bring him in against a second unit, he just dominates. Like, he's so much faster than everyone else on the floor. So I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas. And my dark horse, again, is Kevin Martin from the Timberwolves. When you have a guy that can average 20 points off the bench, that's pretty – and shoot fairly efficiently, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I also have Isaiah Thomas, but a very, 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 very close second. I actually went back and forth. And when I put the email together, I actually had this guy. I thought about it, decided to go with Isaiah Thomas. This guy was a starter and a star for the 76ers. He was a star for the Nuggets. He was a starter for the Warriors. He took a back seat last year, started coming off the bench, and they won a title because of it. And I think that dark horse, Andre Iguodala, if the Warriors go as far this year as they did last year with Iggy coming off the bench, the narrative will give them that six man. Oh, look how selfless he is. He was a star two other cities. You know, he takes the backseat. I think the problem with a lot of this is IT is definitely the better player, scorer, everything, but Iguodala is the better defender. He has the better story. He'll be on the better team, and a lot of the people that vote for this take that sort of thing into account. So that's why I have Iggy, I had IT wanting to win it, and I think he'll win it, but Iggy will get a lot of votes. But IT would.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with the Warriors' success.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so your Rookie of the Year, Joe.
Rookie of the Year, I have Karl-Anthony Towns from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Again, I just think they're going to be good this year. I think he's going to keep pumping out double-doubles. I don't think his first game was even the best that he has to show. And I just, you know, he was the number one pick, and he's on a team that I think is going to do pretty well. And I do think that team record ends up playing into a lot of these individual awards. More so in the NBA than any other sport.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And I think the dark horse is going to be Emmanuel Mudiay. I don't think the Denver Nuggets are going to be good. But again, if he goes out and puts up just insane points and assist numbers, even just high assist numbers, and he's going to play a central role on the Nuggets. They don't have much else. They're going to rely on him heavily. They're going to give him probably 30-plus minutes a night. And I think if he performs well with those minutes, he could put up strong enough numbers that would make it hard not to vote for him.
Yeah, and I actually had the same two, but flip-flopped for a lot of the same reasons. I put Mudiay first just because, like I said, he's already had that season in China. He's already played a full season of professional basketball. Less likely to hit that rookie wall, so his season-long numbers will look better. He was really good in his first appearance, 11 turnovers notwithstanding, but I don't think it's going on a limb to say he's not going to average 11 turnovers a game. So I think a lot of this is he won't have the same stumbles that a lot of rookies will. But he and Karl-Anthony Towns, I definitely think, will be 1 and 2. I wouldn't be surprised by either order, but I think that Mudiay is going to have a lot of people kicking themselves for passing on him, for letting him fall to the Nuggets.
Right. And again, with those turnovers, I mean, that's not necessarily a category that a lot of people consider, a lot of sports writers consider to be a deterrent in voting for somebody. Like, if they have the other numbers, they'll overlook a guy that averages three to four turnovers a game, which I think Madej is probably on track to doing. Even if he doesn't have 11, I mean, just the amount of responsibility he's going to have, the amount of time the ball spends in his hands, and the fact that he's 19 years old is going to lead to a decent amount of turnovers. There's just a learning curve in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of sports writers could overlook those numbers for the other wonky numbers. But again, that's one of those things that's going to hurt the team. Like, if he turns the ball over 3 to 4 times a night, then the team is going to be worse, but his individual numbers could be better.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, for your defensive player of the year, who do you have going, winning that award this year?
I picked another Clipper. I picked DeAndre Jordan, just because when I look at the guy, nobody drives on the Clippers. Like, nobody, when he's in the paint or near the basket, nobody even tries to go inside. And it's not because Blake Griffin's this great defensive player. It's because DeAndre Jordan is an all-world defensive center. And I just think that he's been the best defensive player for a while, and I think that's going to continue this year.
I also have a center. I have a different center. I have who I think is going to be the first player and the fourth ever to average 2 blocks and 2 steals in a season. He's got one eyebrow. His name is Anthony Davis. I think that he'll put up the numbers, because when you can average 2 steals, 2 blocks this season, which, like I said, only 3 players have ever done it, and I think he has the skills to do that. That's catnip for defensive player of the year voters, I think. So I think it's going to be Anthony Davis. I'm going out on limb. I think he will average 2 steals and 2 blocks. He'll be the first person since Gerald Wallace in 2005, 2006 to do it. And that's a very strange list, because you have Gerald Wallace, and then you have 2 of the greatest players to ever play the game, David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon, are the only 2 players other than him to do that. I think Anthony Davis, I think he'll do it this year, and I think he wins defensive player of the year because of it.
Yeah, he's going to have to hit that 2-and-2 mark, and I definitely thought about that. I'd consider putting Anthony Davis in. Obviously, I think he's one of the best players in the league. But I think, like I said before, it's going to come down to team standings, and the Clippers are going to be better than the Pelicans this year. And I think that's just going to attract a ton of attention. If they're first in the West and they have the best record in the league, like I think they're going to have, then I think that they're just going to rake on these awards. My dark horse, however, is Rudy Gobert. I mean, speaking of someone who can do 2 blocks and 2 steals a night, or two blocks and 2 steals a game, he's definitely one of those guys. And which is odd to say about somebody, but I think he had 1.5 and 1.5 last year. So he's really close. And he's only in his first year. So I think he's a dark horse to win defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he took it down. I wouldn't be surprised if DeAndre Jordan took it down. There's a very small group of players up at the top who are viable Defensive Player of the Year candidates, and I think we went through 3 of them right there.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's certainly in that conversation too.
Yeah, I think Kawhi might get a lot of second, third place votes. I don't know if he'll get many first place votes for it, personally, because these hyper athletic big men are just putting up more eye popping numbers for it.
Yeah, so. And the writers still seem to think that rebounds. I mean, it is a defensive statistic, but you know, big men just have an advantage in that category. So,
exactly. So. So I think that'll do it. You know, we've went just over an hour here, looking at about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Not bad.
So, yeah, not too bad. So, Joe, any last final thoughts before we cut this one off?
No, you know, if we're sticking to the NBA stuff, I'm going to say that, you know, I think it's pretty obvious. I think the Clippers are going to be the best team in the league, and maybe all time. So, and I think Chris Paul is probably the greatest player to ever live and one of the great human beings in human history.
Joe, I disagree.
Yeah. Can we get to that later?
Yeah, but more on that later. So, all right. Well, I gotta get going. So I think an hour and 15 minutes is a good solid podcast. I'll see you tomorrow, but I think we'll record another one next week. So,
Yeah, buddy.
We'll talk more about the Kings. We'll probably talk about how terrible the 49ers are and the World Series. So, Joe, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, guys.
Adios.